first chapter of John's Gospel, we read of Jesus meeting several of the disciples for the very first time. And over the course of about 20, 25 verses, we see Jesus meeting some of the famous disciples that we'll come to love. But also we see Jesus meeting them in lots of different ways. And I think it's a fascinating insight into how Jesus calls people to follow him and how different that looks and what different disciples see in Jesus. So I want to walk through that a little bit today with us. And so it begins with John the Baptist, actually, Jesus' cousin. John is sitting with two of his disciples, two men who have come to develop a relationship with John, who see in John a great prophet, a great man of God. And they come to trust John implicitly. And so one day they're sitting there and Jesus walks by. And what's amazing is John points to Jesus and says, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." And those two disciples get up and they follow. No other questions, no other clarifying statements. John points at Jesus and these two men get up and follow. Now, I imagine it's because they had built this relationship of trust with John the Baptist. That in John's life and in his teaching and in his ministry, but also simply in his relationship with these two men, they implicitly trusted John right away. And so they got up and they followed. Now, I want to talk about that word follow for just a second because it's a Greek word. And don't worry, I'm not going to teach you what the Greek sounds like, but I am going to say this. The Gospel of John loves to have double meanings for the words. When John writes his Gospel, there's really two narratives going on. There's the narrative that we see on the ground, and there's this heavenly, spiritual dimension all the time operating in his Gospel. So every time he gives a detail, oftentimes it has this kind of double meaning. And so here in the story, we're told a literal explanation. These two men get up and they follow Jesus, right? Simple as that. They literally get up and start walking after him. But the word follow is going to come to mean in his Gospel discipleship. And so from the very beginning, these two men have started this path of discipleship before they're even able to catch up to Jesus, before they're even able to ask him a question, or before Jesus is able to interrogate them. The journey of discipleship begins the moment they decide to listen to John as he points and asks him to go. And so they get up and they follow. Now what's amazing is next, Jesus turns around, noticing he's being followed, and he asks them, "What are you looking for?" I love that. Have you ever been asked that question? What are you looking for? I think all of us find ourselves looking for something in this life, right? Looking for love, looking for a good job, looking for meaning and satisfaction, looking for a deep calling, looking for significance in life. Maybe simply just looking for a good paycheck, looking for the end of a pandemic. All of us are searching, longing, hoping for a vision of what's to come. And again, I think with that double meaning, Jesus turns around and asks those two men, "What are you looking for?" Not simply, what person are you hoping to find? But what deep longing, what vision of a life are you hoping to find? Now, the men then respond with their own question, perhaps not understanding Jesus' question, or maybe looking to kind of deflect because Jesus has gotten too personal too fast. And so they ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" All right, here's another word, right? When they say, "Where do you stay?" they use the Greek word meno, which means, "Where do you abide?" And John is going to use that word all throughout his Gospel to define the relationship between Jesus and the Father and between Jesus and us. Jesus abides with the Father. The Father abides with Jesus. We who love abide in God, and God abides in us. The men have asked Jesus, "Where do you stay?" And Jesus says, "You won't believe it." And so their discipleship journey has begun with these questions. Now, the next day, two men have decided that they have to tell others about this Jesus that they've met. And so Andrew, one of the men, goes to his brother, Simon. And he tells Simon, "We have found the Messiah." Now, that's a pretty bold claim. And Simon is a little skeptical. I can imagine you would be too if someone came to you out of the blue and said, "We found the Messiah." But Simon goes with his brother Andrew to meet Jesus. Jesus says, "Nice to meet you, Simon. I think I'll call you Peter." These are some odd encounters, some interesting dynamics, and yet something about this moment helps us to understand the variety of ways that Jesus and others have a chance to meet him. Did you notice that Andrew, he doesn't, yell at his brother. He doesn't take out an ad in the Galilee Times announcing that he had found the Messiah. He doesn't go to a street corner with a bullhorn just yelling at people. He goes to a family member. He goes to those closest to him, to his brother, one that he has a relationship with, and he tells them about who he's met. And then he doesn't tell them, "Look, you need to go find Jesus." Instead, he invites him to come with him. "Come with me and meet this man who I believe to be the Messiah. Come and see." And he takes the time to bring Peter with him. And as Peter meets this Jesus, Jesus instantly begins the process of transformation. "You're Simon? I'm going to call you Peter." And that work of transformation already begins before Simon Peter even understands what's happening. Now, what happens next is my favorite part, so much so that I'm going to read it to you. It's from, again, that first chapter of John. And again, these stories are right after each other. And in the 43rd verse, we get the story of what happens the very next day after Jesus and Peter have met. "The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, 'Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' Nathanael asked him, 'Where did you get to know me?' Jesus answered, 'I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called to you.' Nathanael replied, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus answered, 'Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these.' And he said to him, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.'" What I love about this story is Nathanael has a reaction that I think I would have. The very next day, Jesus goes to Galilee. He sees Philip and simply says, "Philip, follow me." Philip does. It's good to know that Jesus doesn't always need our help in calling people to follow him. And then Philip goes and talks to Nathanael, a friend of his. And he tells Nathanael, "We have found the Messiah. And his name is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth." And Nathanael's reaction is classic, right? "Can anything good come from that little backwater of a town? Have you ever been to Nazareth?" And what's amazing is that Nathanael already has these preconceived notions. And the truth is, when we share our faith, we're going to meet resistance. We're going to meet people who already have their predetermined opinions about Jesus, about Christianity, about church, and about you, and about me. And that resistance is real, and it's out there. But Philip doesn't argue. He doesn't say, well, you know, I've got this 10-point plan on this little tract that I'm going to give to you to explain to you who Jesus is. He simply says, you know what? Just come and see. Just come with me and see what you think. Nathanael does, and as soon as he and Philip show up, Jesus calls out to him like he knows him. He says, ah, here's a good man, an Israelite. Nathanael is intrigued by this greeting, and he asks Jesus, have we ever met before? And Jesus says, oh yeah, I saw you by the fig tree. Nathanael doesn't remember this and somehow thinks that Jesus has some sort of supernatural vision. And he's impressed. And I love this. He says, you must be the Son of God. You must be the King of Israel if you can do this. And Jesus says to him, if you're impressed by that, you haven't seen anything yet. You will see greater things than these. I love these stories of these first disciples and their encounters with Jesus. Because we see so many different ways that they come to him and so many different ways that Jesus reaches out to people, so many different avenues for people to meet Jesus. But I also love because it concludes with this promise, you will see greater things. Your vision will be expanded beyond your dreams. You will see things that I can't even begin to explain to you. And if I did, you wouldn't believe it. And here's the thing. All those stories, even though they take place in the past, I want you to consider that they still take place in the present. Jesus still calls people to follow him. Jesus still invites strangers to become family. Jesus still invites us to journey with him, to follow him, to ask him questions, but to be prepared to have some questions asked of us. And the God who is desires to give us a new vision, a greater vision than what we are limited in at the moment. Greater things that could happen in our lives if we're open to him. Greater things that could happen in our communities. Greater things that could happen in our families. Greater things that could happen in our church. Greater things that might happen in our world. And this is a present promise for Jesus. This promise to see greater things is a promise to you and to me. How do I know? Because here in the scripture, Jesus uses a very important word. He's talking to Nathanael. They're by themselves, and Nathanael and Jesus are having this exchange, and Jesus says to Nathanael, you will see greater things. But here's the fun thing. One more Greek. I promise the last one. That you, here in this passage, is plural. Allow me to translate it into the proper Southern English. Y'all will see greater things. In that moment, Jesus is talking to Nathanael and to Philip and to Andrew and to Simon. And I believe he's talking to you and to me. Anyone who dares to stand up and follow Jesus. Y'all will see greater things. And for the rest of the gospel, we see the vision of the disciples expanding and expanding and expanding. They'll see miracles. They'll see water turned to wine. They'll see thousands fed by just a few pieces of bread. They'll see the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Those are greater things. But they'll also see miracles in more common ways. They'll see Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman by a well. and trusting in that exchange, asking her for water. They'll see a woman caught in adultery at the hands of a murderous crowd, forgiven and rescued and redeemed by Jesus. They'll see that same Jesus, that master, get down on the floor and wash their feet and tell them this is what it means to be great. Their vision in the beginning of the gospel is understandably very narrow. They see Jesus and they're interested in this man. By the end of the gospel, they see an eternity before them. By the end of the gospel, they have seen a Jesus who satisfies the thirsty, feeds the hungry, raises the dead, who welcomes the outcast, forgives the sinner, washes our feet, and saves our souls. Talk about a vision of greater things. So my question for you in these early weeks of 2021, what are you looking for? What are you looking for this year? Are you looking for normalcy? Are you looking for healing? Are you looking for hope? Are you just looking for some good news from somewhere? Well, wherever you're looking for and whoever you're looking for it from, I want to invite you to come and see. Follow Jesus for a bit. And maybe, just maybe, you will catch a vision for greater things. And in the process, have your best year ever. Amen. Friends, as you go forth this week, and as you seek to make decisions about who you'll follow, where you want to go, in hopes of finding what you're looking for, my prayer is that you might consider Jesus and might be open to the greater things, the vision that He wants to share with you. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance to you and give you peace. And may that peace and love go with you as you follow Jesus. Amen.